Royal Oak, beloved worshiping community in this sanctuary, and those of you who will hear this sermon later this week. The name of my sermon this morning is Welcome to the Epiphany of Abundance. Welcome to 180 gallons of grace. You see, this wedding story at Cana is unique. It's only in the Gospel of John. Jesus is reluctant to perform this miracle. He says, "My time has not yet come." He doesn't want to reveal his power. But why did Mary ask him to do this? And why did John include this insignificant, in some ways, miracle in his gospel? Because if you look at the Gospel of Matthew, first thing Jesus does of any note is do his Sermon on the Mount. And in the Gospel of Mark, the first thing Jesus does is go to the temple and exorcise a demon. In the Gospel of Luke, first thing Jesus does is go back to his hometown and preach. So why does John have this in chapter 2, this air quotes insignificant sign of turning water into wine? Because we right now are in the season of Epiphany. And the word epiphany means revealing. And this story of this sign is revealing something to us that God wants us to hear, especially in light of the creation scripture we read last week. But the question is, what is being revealed? What is the epiphany? So, dear God, please come into my mind and heart this morning. Let the words of my mouth lift up this, your beloved community. Let them see your grace with new eyes, hear your words with new ears. Let your love overflow in them. In Jesus' name, amen. A little bit of background. Jewish weddings at that time were often 7 days long. And the host would often sit the least important guest at one table and then the middle important at the next and the most important at another. And the host would often serve the worst wine to the least important guest, best wine to the most important. It was considered worst thing in the world to run out of wine at a wedding ceremony. It was considered a social disgrace. But they were 7 days long. Now, I've had some experience with a 7-day-long wedding. Bruce? This is my and my wife Sarah's, just show this picture for now, 7-day wedding. It was on Catoctin Mountain in Maryland. My wife and I had been married 4 times to each other. No divorces to each other. This was the last wedding. The last wedding was 7 days long. So I understand about 7-day weddings. Okay, you can get that rid of that. Thank you. But this wedding, Jesus was asked to perform a miracle, but there was no life-threatening illness. Nothing terrible was about to happen. Nobody was going to go hungry. There was no demon driving somebody crazy. Nobody had died that Jesus needed to raise from the dead. The crisis in this story, somebody ran out of wine. Or as my daughter Emily's 5th grade teacher said, not good planning. But what does Jesus do? Now, you know, he doesn't want to unveil his power, so the only people that knows what's going on are the servants. And very quietly, Jesus asks them to bring over 6 jars or earthenware jugs. These are 20 to 30 gallons large. And he tells them to fill them up to the brim with water, right up to the brim. And then he just says, ask the maitre d' to taste it. That's all he does. Doesn't make a big deal of it. But if you do the math, Jesus created 120 to 180 gallons of wine. Think about that. That is completely mind-bogglingly extravagant. way beyond what his mother was probably expecting him to do. And I read one scholar that calculated the cost of that wine and considered that Jesus probably created $120,000 to $180,000 worth of wine. Hello. But that's what was going on, but we still have this question hanging over our heads. Why was this so extravagant? Probably another 20 gallons would have done. But if we go back into this gospel, and John does not use the word, when he's writing this in Greek, miracle, the Greek word that John uses is simeon. And the literal translation of that means a sign. And so this miracle, this sign, is a revelation of something critical, way more important of, hey, there's 180 gallons of wine. The more important thing is this. This sign that Jesus does points us to the source of extravagant abundance, extravagant love, extravagant life, extravagant joy. Jesus changing the water into wine is a sign that in him, this extravagant life, joy, and salvation is here. It's happening. And this is important to understand. John, in the beginning of his gospel, focuses on this. In chapter 1, verse 4, he says, a fountain of life was in him, for his life is the light for all humanity. And then in the Gospel of John, verse 10, in chapter 10, it's very specific. I have come to give you everything in abundance, more than you expect. Life in its fullness until you overflow. I have come to give you everything, life in its fullness, until you overflow. So this is the reason we have this story towards the beginning of the Gospel of John. And this story dovetails with what we were talking about last Sunday. In the creation narrative, I asked us to be scientists of the sacred, so we could discover how God wanted us to be used for his purposes in this world, to be stewards of creation and to be people that bring love and life of God into this world. And now we have this story, and we get the idea that God has given us everything we need in abundance so we can live into this calling to bring God's love into this world. I want to share with you the words of Professor Elizabeth Johnson. She put this, I read this several times because I found this quote so beautiful. These are her words. Abundant life is more than mere survival and more than an abundance of material things. Abundant life is to know and be known by the one through whom all life came into being. Abundant life is to have an intimate relationship with the one who loves us so much that he doesn't know how to stop giving. Those are Professor Johnson's words, but this is why we have this story. The Gospel of John is welcoming us to an epiphany of abundance and welcoming us to 180 gallons of grace. Royal Oak, beloved worshiping community, abundant life in Jesus means that we have an abundant, extravagant source of grace to sustain us in our joys and our sorrows, on our best days and our worst days. Abundant life in Jesus, it means that we are joined to the source of one true life. Life that is rich and full and eternal. life that neither sorrow nor suffering nor death can destroy. This connection to the source of abundant life, this is the true sign that the Gospel of John wants us to know. And please look at what Jesus does. He puts new wine into old containers. Jesus transforms the old containers. They go from polluted, dirty, to pure. Jesus transforms us from saints to, from sinners to saints. Jesus fills us to the brim with God's abundant grace and life and love. This story is so beautiful when we see this story as we are the guest, for all intents and purposes, at this wedding. And no, we're not drinking the actual wine, but we're getting the benefits of all of this love and grace and abundance. Reverend Edward Marquardt's a pastor out in Seattle, and he does have a way with words. I'm just going to tell you what he said. His words: the message of the sign is that Jesus took 180 gallons of Jewish laws, 180 gallons of purification rituals, 180 gallons of guilt, 180 gallons of don't do this, don't do that, and transformed them into a new religion, into new meaning, into new wine. Jesus has brought about this religion of love and salvation and grace. And Royal Oak, beloved worshiping community, Jesus is offering us 180 gallons of grace and forgiveness and salvation because we are with him in his banquet. We are guests at Jesus' table. In just a few minutes, we'll be celebrating communion. We are the guest with Jesus. And Jesus is the unending source, not just of life for the entire world, but the unending source of life and love and grace for each of us. So welcome to this season of Epiphany, to an Epiphany of abundance. Welcome to 180 gallons of grace. We had a worship committee meeting, as I said, this past week. There was such an abundance of good ideas and energy that you will see what's happening in the not-too-distant future. We have an abundance of fellowship and connections in this congregation. I was talking to someone before church, and they said, oh, well, so-and-so isn't here, but they want to be here, but they've been sick with COVID, but we connected with them, and God offers all of us this abundance, and I give thanks that you, as a beloved worshiping community, are engaging in giving this abundance to others. So, second picture, Bruce.
Now we have the one except the blow up.
Yeah, the blow up. There you go. So Royal Oak, beloved worshiping community, have you ever been to a seven-day wedding? I have. And it was extravagant. Okay, just set the record straight. I, at that time in my life, was a high school drama teacher, and we had just done a production of Alice in Wonderland, and many of those are the costumes from the production. Anyway. I am not that old. So have you ever been to a seven-day wedding? I have, and it was extravagant. Almost as extravagant as being a follower of Jesus and participating in Jesus' epiphany of abundance. And for this, we give thanks and praise in Jesus' name as we bring God's abundance into this world Amen.